Hello and welcome back to Cover to Cover. Today we're talking about a remarkable Korean novel called The Vegetarian by the writer Hong Kang. The novel was published in Korea in 2007, but it wasn't until 2015 that an English translation appeared. Then the following year, the novel won the Man Booker International Prize for both author and translator. Now, our plan for this episode was to interview a Korean pharmacist friend, Tan Bi, but alas, time zones and workloads have made it impossible to set up the interview. So instead, our colleague Jingmei has kindly agreed to read Tanbi's replies. I am here in our studio in Porto, and Tanbi's doppelganger is in a studio in Beijing. So, from one side of the world to the other, Jingmei and Tanbi, hello and welcome to Cover to Cover.
Hello, Dan. Nice to be here.
The Vegetarian is the story of a Korean woman who decides one day to stop eating meat. She has dreams where she sees faces and blood. She thinks that if she stops eating meat, if she is no longer part of what she calls the chain of blood, then these horrible faces will stop appearing in her dreams. So she refuses to eat meat, and this draws a wave of negative criticism and comment from everyone around her. Her father is furious. Her husband can't understand her. Her sister is worried. Nobody shows sympathy or respect for her choice. After she tries to commit suicide, she ends up in a hospital for people with mental problems. Her husband divorces her. She eats less and less. She fights the hospital staff who try to force feed her. One day she escapes from the asylum and goes into a forest where she stands on her head. She lets the rain pour over her because she is trying to become a tree. The only person in her family who continues to visit her in the mental hospital is her sister. She is abandoned by everyone else. Tanbi, is that a fair summary?
Yes, it is.
Tanbi, before we get into the story, can you tell us a little about yourself? You work as a pharmacist in Busan, which is the second largest city in South Korea. Is that right?
Yes, I studied pharmacy at university, and these days I'm working in a hospital pharmacy, mainly preparing and managing medications for inpatients. Busan is where I grew up. It's a port city, very lively.
What attracted you to the pharmaceutical profession?
I liked science when I was at school, and I also liked pharmacy. I find chemical reactions interesting and the way drug development can help people.
Okay, so where you grew up in a city, the two sisters at the heart of this novel, The Vegetarian, they grew up in a rural area. Do you think that affects the story?
Yes, I think so. There are fewer opportunities to experience other cultures and different points of view if you grow up in a small town. This probably contributes to the fact that Yoon-hee's family are unable to understand her, unable to accept somebody who is different.
Well, I guess we should add that the story is told from three different points of view. First of all, Young-hae's husband, then her brother-in-law, and finally her sister. Tanbi, what did you like most about the story?
What I liked most about the story is that it reveals the ugly side of Korean society, where being different is neither respected nor accepted. You know, in Korean, we have an expression that translates something like, if you hadn't played, you won't have lost.
Okay, so in other words, it's better to keep your head down, to stay safe, to avoid risk. Is that it?
Yes, there's a strong reluctance in Korean society to accept people who are different. Actually, I lived in Australia for several years. My experience is that in a multicultural society like Australia, being different or unique is appreciated and seen as a strength. But in Korea, we put the emphasis on coexisting with other people in harmony, and this means not challenging social norms.
Is that changing at all?
Actually, it is. The new generation, people born in the 1990s, is now entering society and they are different from previous generations because they put themselves first, rather than being mainly concerned with the well-being of the group.
You know, another aspect of Korean society seen from Europe is that there is less gender equality between men and women than what we are used to here.
Yes, gender equality, did I say that right? It's an issue. Take something simple like household chores. They are still seen as mainly the responsibility of women. But this has started to change.
And more generally?
Many parts of our society, business and politics, for example, are still mostly run by men. There are glass ceilings in many fields for women trying to rise. But in my field, pharmacy, women dominate. So I haven't had to face this issue personally since I work in an environment where men are in a minority.
Okay, so when you were a kid, were you conscious of differences in the way boys and girls were treated?
Not really. I don't remember being told of boundaries I couldn't cross. I think I enjoyed all the love a child could get, but it might have been different for someone from a big family like Yonghee.
Okay. So can we talk about Yonghee's father? He is a violent man. When Yonghee was a child, he beat her. But even when she's an adult, a married woman living in the city, far away from her parents, her father still thinks he has the right to tell her how to live her life. And violence remains a basic reflex for this guy, doesn't it?
But that level of violence and that horribly uncaring attitude is not common. But maybe older generations still value daughters less than sons. Yonghee's parents make no effort to understand their daughter. It's sad.
Yeah, and Yonghee's mother doesn't challenge her husband, does she?
Well, first of all, she is afraid of him. And second, she is probably relying on him in many ways, unable to lead an independent life on her own. I would like to think that at least a small part of the mother wanted to embrace her daughter, but maybe she was afraid that she would also be kicked out of the family if she stood by her daughter.
So Yonghee ends up being abandoned?
Yes, she was not looked after well when she was young. And then when she is an adult and declares that she will no longer eat meat, her family react very negatively, even though she is not causing anyone any harm. I think one reason the parents abandoned their daughter was that Yonghee is not their only child. They have two other so-called normal children. I don't know.
What did you make of Mr. Chung, Yonghee's husband?
He's awful. He went into marriage because it's normal for a grown-up man to get married at some point and have a family. He chose Yonghee because she was ordinary. She does all the things a wife should do, but she remains ordinary and almost invisible. Perhaps it was to be expected that he would leave his wife when she is no longer the kind of wife he wanted.
Yeah, but in what sense are Yonghee and Mr. Chung a family? I'm not just talking about the fact that they have no children. I'm talking about the fact that their relationship is emotionally sterile, it's sexually sterile, it's intellectually sterile. I mean, as I understand it, custom dictates that when a Korean man reaches the age of 30, he should get married. But right at the beginning of the book, Mr. Chung says that the first time he met Yonghee, he wasn't even attracted to her. He goes on, I'm quoting, "The passive personality of this woman, in whom I could detect neither freshness nor charm or anything especially refined, suited me down to the ground." Tambi, let's face it, there's never any love in this marriage, is there?
Mr. Chung's reactions in the novel are disgusting, and I would have been heavily disappointed if he was my husband. It's true that there is a strong social expectation that when you reach a certain age, you will get married and have a family of your own. There is also an assumption that if you get divorced, there may be something wrong with you, when it may simply be that the two people no longer love each other. It is a sad and constrained life when you value social norms over your own feelings.
In one scene, Mr. Chung takes Yonghee to a business dinner in a plush restaurant, and the other guests are extremely uncomfortable because Yonghee will not eat meat and she is not wearing a bra.
Yes, as I said, people here are not comfortable being different to others. They often react negatively to someone being different, even when that difference does no harm. Personally, I think people can be different and still maintain harmony, but a lot of people don't get this.
Let's talk a little about Inhee's husband, the guy who becomes sexually obsessed with Yonghee. What do you make of him?
He is a terrible husband to Inhee. He has no interest in looking after his family, and yet he stays in the marriage because it's convenient. He even takes advantage of his emotionally unstable sister-in-law.
Actually, I have some sympathy for him because the way I see it, like Yonghee, he finds social expectations stifling. Like her, it seems to me, he's searching for something in the artistic, in the spiritual dimension, And of course, he also ends up excluded from society.
I just don't understand him and his struggles or his feelings.
How do you see the sister, Inhae?
From the outside, it looks like Inhae is leading an ordinary happy life. But in fact, she is also trapped by the need to live up to people's expectations. She never lives life for herself. She lives in order to fulfill her duty as a daughter, a sister, a mother, and a wife. I think she represents many people in Korean society, people who live for others rather than for themselves. But on the other hand, Inhae is the only one who continues to look after Yeonhee when everyone else abandons her sister.
When Inhae goes to visit her sister in hospital in the third part of the book, she starts to think about her own life, doesn't she? And just like you said, she realizes that she's always been constrained by duty, by responsibility. She feels that she has never really lived. And in fact, she kind of envies her sister, doesn't she?
It's a paradox, I think. Inhae, who is seen as a good person on the outside, is actually sick on the inside and envies her sister, whom everyone thinks is crazy. And Yeonhee, who is abandoned by almost everyone, is the only one who had the courage to be herself in front of everybody.
Earlier, we mentioned the weight of social expectation. It seems to me that Yeonhae drifts into a marriage where she gets up at 6 a.m., she puts rice and soup on the table. When she's alone, she reads books, books that her husband has absolutely no interest in. And also in which from time to time, she meets her husband's sexual needs, but without any apparent desire or emotion on her side.
Life isn't much better for Inhae. She has an exhausting life looking after the shop and dealing with stuff. And she makes meals for her husband, who she doesn't understand and who doesn't communicate with her in any meaningful way.
Yes, and Inhae also has to deal with her son and his fears, his attempts to make his mum smile from time to time.
Both sisters are people who for years and years live simply to fulfill their responsibilities.
Inhae ends up thinking about suicide, doesn't she? What holds her back from taking that step?
Her feelings for her son. I think these women spend so long making themselves fit in with social expectations that they lost the ability to listen to their inner voices and be themselves. They just keep on doing what they have been doing. That is, until Yeonhee has her dream.
Okay, I'm digressing a bit here, but apparently the population of Korea is in decline.
It is. These days, many Korean women prefer to pursue education and professional careers rather than get married and become mothers. For one thing, it's not always easy for women employees in Korea to get time off from work to have children and raise them. Also, the economy is sluggish. The cost of living is rising. The people are worried about keeping their job and about where to live. People have enough to do, just to support themselves and no energy to spare to start a family of their own. From my point of view, it's not surprising that many women are giving up on marriage and motherhood and instead focusing on themselves and their careers.
Well, but Younghae doesn't just lack satisfying work, does she? In her life, there's no love. There's very little joy or pleasure or excitement. Just meals to prepare, rituals to observe, and the weight of social and family expectations pressing down on her. It's a pretty grim picture, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So, when the dreams come, she has no protection. She rebels against meat, against the killing of animals, and against human violence in general.
Against the chain of blood, yes. But she goes beyond that, doesn't she? She turns this rebellion into a positive aspiration towards the vegetable kingdom. She's not just a vegetarian, is what I'm trying to say. She's fascinated by plants and flowers. She's drawn to them. That's why she has sex with her brother-in-law. And it's her fascination with trees that leads her into the forest.
Yes, she wants to turn her back on the violence, escape a conventional life that has such little meaning. She wants to become a tree, to drink rain water, to bask in sunlight. In her situation, who can blame her for opting out?
Yeah. I guess death is the logical consequence of Younghae's desire for purity, but it's disturbing, isn't it? There's almost a kind of joy in death for her.
I found the novel very sad. No one tried to listen to her voice and understand her thoughts. When she tried to become what she wanted to be, rather than the person everybody wanted her to be, she was rejected and abandoned. Her decision to become a vegetarian leads step by step to her self-destruction. It's very sad.
Yeah, well, first of all, Jingmei, thanks very much to you in Beijing for taking the time to record these replies. And Tanbi, I know you've had a very hectic schedule in Busan of late, but thank you so much for giving us your reaction to The Vegetarian and for giving us an insight into Korean society and how it's changing. Personally, I was thrilled to discover this writer and this novel. It's a remarkable story that certainly stayed with me long after I read the final page. And if it is a sad story, and it is a sad story, it's also, I feel, an uplifting and a heroic story.